As bookstores face up to the challenge of digital distribution, book publishers are conceding that so-called sales to the trade giving way to a straight-to-consumer pitch. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. For booksellers, a response to the shift from B2B to B2C is to use digital to their advantage. For Book Expo America, the nation's largest book publishing event, the answer can be found in a comic book. Joining me with more is Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, who joins us on the show every Friday. How are you, Andrew?
Good, Chris. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Well, listen, we're trying to keep warm here. It's been pretty cold where we are in the U.S., but at PW, you're already thinking about spring, and hooray for that. So this week's issue, we've got some spring announcements, and tell us more.
Yes, correct you are. We are a few days ahead of Groundhog Day here, but we at PW are here to remind you book lovers that, yes, spring is indeed around the corner. At least the spring list from the publishers is on the way. And once again, it is a wonderful, massive collection of titles for the coming season. In all, the entire editorial staff of PW worked on this, and we have more than 1,200 titles across 20 categories, including some big books in fiction, nonfiction, you name it. Personally, my own category that I worked on this year was social science. In that category, I can say that there's a great crop of books coming out, including a new book from the Freakonomics authors that is sure to be a huge hit this year. So do check out the spring announcements in Monday's issue.
Well, definitely, Andrew, spring is something to look forward to. But, of course, it is still winter here, and that means the ABA's Winter Institute in Seattle, which PW will have a report on in Monday's issue. Tell us what to expect there.
You're right. It is winter still for those of us here in the Northeast. We know that all too well. But PW does have a team in Seattle for the American Bookseller Association's annual Winter Institute. And in Monday's issue, we will have a rundown of the goings-on out in the great Pacific Northwest, which, as most of our listeners surely know, is a great book-loving town. So I think it's worth noting that just, you know, a few days out of Digital Book World, which I know you were at, Chris, that there was so pretty much very little talk of physical bookstores at that meeting. Now, it's Digital World, of course, so that's probably to be expected. However, it's worth noting that technology is also fueling innovation for those physical booksellers. And out of Winter Institute, we reported this week on the rollout of new hand seller software developed by the owners of the Eagle Harbor Bookstore. And the software is designed to help independent bookstores increase their revenue through recommendation function and through personalized customer data. So at its core, the hand seller software does what online retailers already do, which is offer a digital platform for personalized book recommendations. Now, customers can view book recommendations online. They can ask their store to pull books of interest and hold them at the store. The program also offers book and author quizzes around genres and subjects for authors to play and compete in. Winners can redeem prizes at bookstores. There's a fresh picks feature that allows bookstores to highlight special categories of books unique to their own local community. So, you know, it's interesting that the there's now software coming up for indies to compete with the Amazons of the world up there. So I found that to be interesting news from Seattle, and we'll see how that program goes in 2014.
Well, indeed, it's sort of coming into the seasons. We were talking about the seasons, Andrew. It's coming into the seasons of book shows and book publisher shows. And we have an announcement this week from Book Expo America that I previewed in the intro. They are thinking about this coming year's show in New York City in May. And what have they announced?
Yeah, well, we've got a bit of rebranding for BEA. As you know, last year, Book Expo America had a consumer day in which the public was allowed access to the trade show. Well, that day will come again and is now called BookCon. It's going to take place on Saturday, May 31st, and like its predecessor, BookCon is going to be a day of events tailored to consumers, featuring author talks and giveaways and book signings. And here's the good part. In its announcement, BEA officials acknowledged that the change, that the rebranding to BookCon, is due to the growing importance of the consumer-focused element of the show. Now, I think BEA officials have done a pretty good job rolling with the changes to the publishing industry over the last few years, as it transitions from this, you know, trade business-to-business industry to a more consumer-focused business in the digital age. So this acknowledgement that the consumer is an important part of BEA, when BEA has been a trade-only show for so long, I think is kind of a big deal. Consumer Day at BEA last year had still limited success. It only drew about 2,000 consumers. But BEA officials are hoping that the rebranding and the tweaking of its consumer element can really jumpstart it and really make this part of the show more important. So one only needs to check out the Saturdays, the Consumer Days, we'll call them, at Frankfurt, or go to the Comic-Con at Javits Center to see how interested consumers are in the publisher's products and in, you know, meeting with authors, etc. So any chance to win a direct relationship with the consumer, I think, should be seized. But also, I think it's just good PR for a publishing industry whose main consumer profile so far is as the guys who, you know, wanted to keep book prices high in this Apple litigation. Good stuff from BEA.
Well, indeed. And, you know, just don't bring up price. If there's more than one publisher in the room, the government would be on top of them. But listen, so when it comes to speaking about prices, we've got more on the way for the Apple trial this spring, and this week a bit of a wrinkle in that case. Tell us about that.
That's right. So Apple is still on track for its May damages trial, in which a federal court could order the company to pay up to $900 million in damages to consumers. And that's in addition to the $166 million that could start flowing into consumers' accounts any day now. But this week, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals granted Apple a brief reprieve. They issued a temporary administrative stay while they review Judge Coates' decision last week to deny Apple a stay of a provision calling for an external monitor of their business. Now, those of you who have been following the case in PW know that on January 13th, Judge Coates did deny Apple's bid to stay all that monitor's activities, and they declined Apple's request to disqualify the current monitor, Michael Bromwich. Well, in its order this week, the Second Circuit directed what's called a motions panel, which is three judges of the Supreme Court, or excuse me, of the appeals court, to hear Apple's appeal as soon as possible. Now, that could take days, it could take months, and we know in Apple's case that they are excellent in delaying things. They've been fighting things tooth and nail so far, and they've certainly been able to delay things quite a bit. And in the interim, the administrative stay granted by the court blocks the monitor's work until the court rules on whether or not Judge Coates denied Apple a stay of the monitor provision. But, you know, this sounds like a lot of legal inside baseball, but it's kind of important for two reasons. So first, it's a minor victory for Apple because it allows the company to run a little bit more time off the monitor's two-year appointment. And this is in addition to the 90 days Apple has already managed to run off through a litany of unsuccessful objections it's already pressed before the judge. But more importantly, this is the Second Circuit's first chance, and it expedites its first judicial review of Judge Denise Coates' conduct in the case. Now, how the appeals court rules on Judge Coates' decision to deny Apple's stay of the monitor provision is going to offer us some clue into how it views Judge Coates' handling of the case overall from the beginning. So stay tuned. We could get a much clearer picture of how Apple's appeal stands to go in the next few weeks.
Well, we look forward to your analysis on that. As always, very incisive, and we appreciate your joining us every Friday. Andrew Albany, senior writer for Publishers Weekly.
My pleasure, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.